All right. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here to present for you all. My name is Dan Travis. I'm a soil scientist. I work in the Plant Research Laboratory at Michigan State University. The only reason I mention that is I work in a photosynthesis lab and I'm a soil scientist. So if you have any weird questions at the end of my talk about plastic quinones or things like that, I'm probably not the person to talk to. Anyway, so I'm talking, as Dr. Smucker mentioned, we have developed a platform called PhotoSync, which is probably going to be the first time anybody's here has heard of it. It is a web-based platform which connects a sophisticated handheld plant health meter, which you see at the bottom here, called the MultiSpec, to both Android and desktop applications to collect data either in the field or in the laboratory, to send that data eventually to the web-based database that allows users to map, share, store, graph plant health data with collaborators around the world. So I want to start by talking about a few reasons why we developed the platform before we get into some of the results. So as everybody here knows, right, most plant research happens in really controlled conditions, either in a laboratory, in a greenhouse, in a growth chamber, wherever. But the majority of the plants that we care about are outside, where weather, bugs, animals, everything else can get at them. So what our lab does, obviously because we're a photosynthesis lab, is we're really thinking about how can we use photosynthesis as a window to peer into what the plant is experiencing. How can we use responses by the photosynthetic apparatus to understand the plant's response to dynamic environments? And kind of some of the challenges that we wanted to overcome as we were developing this tool and the platform and the workflow for all the users is, how do we bring the lab to the field in a systematic fashion? Which means, how can we look at a bunch of genetic variants under dynamic conditions quickly and simply? How can we provide rich, sensitive, and critically interpretable phenotypic measurements? And can we do this at the local, the landscape, and at the global scale? Another key challenge is this idea of closing the cycle of agricultural research, right? It's really easy to collect data, but how do we get the analysis and the interpretation to be able to provide valuable feedback to farmers, extension agents, crop consultants, and the like? And we need to be able to do that understanding the genetic components of the system and the physiological mechanisms that are going on within the plants. In order to accomplish these things, we need a lot of data. We need a lot of metadata, and we need outcome data. Metadata, what's the soil type, what's the treatment, what's the genotype of the plant that we're working with, etc. And then outcomes, which we found actually to be the hardest part to collect, is what happened at the end of the year. High or low yields, disease ratings, these types of things. We need to be able to do all of these things as fast as possible. So when we set out designing the MultiSpec meter, we had a list of design parameters that we wanted to start with. The first was, we have to measure something interesting. It's not interesting, nobody's going to want to do it. Also has to be interpretable. Has to be high throughput. So as you can see from this device, this is something that you have to clamp onto a leaf. Nobody wants to stand there and hold the leaf clamp for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So our kind of rule of thumb is it's got to be 15 seconds or we're not interested in that protocol. It has to be inexpensive. So is there a way for us to take what amounts to $30,000 worth of laboratory equipment, and can we put it into a $600 box that somebody can take out to the field, into this case, that it's easy to use and can obtain high quality data? And lastly, is we want it to be open and expandable. The one problem with any, I'm sure anybody who's designed instruments or looked at this, is if you try to devise a one-size-fits-all instrument, there's always at least one person who's like, well, it doesn't solve my problems. So instead of trying to chase that rabbit down the hole, the idea for us is, let's make it open and expandable and adaptable so that anybody can come and pick up the tool, start writing their own protocols, maybe change the hardware a little bit and be able to expand it to their needs. So we started this project, see this black beta version here, 3D printed in the lab. We made about 200 of these. We shipped them to about 20 different countries around the world, collected a lot of data over a two-year period. That data we used to revise and reform our plans for this new MultiSpec here, which was released in March of this year. So what can we measure with this new and improved multi-spec? First, a number of direct crop photosynthetic measurements. The key measurements are photosynthetic control points. I don't want to go too much into it, but I do want to quick highlight three specific parameters that are going to come up later when I start showing some results. Those are phi 2, phi n, pq, and phi n l. And real briefly, what those are, phi 2 is the quantum efficiency of photosystem 2. So of the captured light by the plant, what percentage of that or what ratio of that is going into photosystem 2 for carbon assimilation and photosynthesis. Phi NPQ is the quantum yield of non-photochemical quenching. That's what ratio of captured light is the plant saying, well, I have way too much light. I need to shed this light to avoid damage to my photoprotection to avoid photo damage. And the last one is the phi NO, which is kind of unregulated energy losses that if they build up too high, they can cause real problems within the plant. So we can measure these key photosynthetic control points. We can also measure common pigments, relative chlorophyll content, similar to a Minolta SPAD meter. We can also measure absorption at 530 nanometers, which has often been correlated with anthocyanin content and various other pigments. We're working now on devising an add-on that allows us to connect hoses, like you see here, to the multi-spec, and then have a continuous flow of air over the leaves, so we can measure differential humidity to estimate stomatal conductance. We can measure key leaf and environmental conditions. What's the surface temperature of the leaf? What's the leaf temperature differential between that and the ambient conditions? What's the thickness of the leaf? Ambient temperature, ambient humidity. And then key metadata, as I mentioned earlier, to bring it all together. So because we're connecting this device to an app on our phone, we can get GPS location, we can get timestamp, we can also set up survey-style questions that can be project-specific. What's the genotype that you're working with? What's the treatment? Whatever questions, and those questions are defined by the users themselves so that it's targeted to their specific projects and goals. So we have this assay of 15 seconds that can collect all of this data. Now, what are people doing with it? Over the last about 3 years now that these have been out in the world, we've collected about 650,000 individual data points. And as you can see from the points on the map, we've seen them pretty much all over the place. My particular favorites are this one way up here above the Arctic Circle. I don't know what they were doing there, but I just love the fact that somebody was up there with our tool. I think that's great. And we see, so all over the world, people are collecting data on something like 2,500 projects. And when they get a multi-spec, they're using it, they're doing it for their own project goals. So some of those might be trying to predict yield based on cropping system on smallholder farms in sub-Saharan Africa. It could be trying to predict, develop early disease prediction algorithms for one crop we worked on with sudden death syndrome in lower Michigan. Other people are using it for plant breeding, try to identify key genes. So we have this kind of flexible platform, allows us to measure a lot of different things, but I think most people came here today to talk about moisture stress, so that's what I'm going to focus on for the rest of my talk. So how can we take this tool that measures photosynthetic control points and use it to identify moisture stress in plants, and is that valuable for anybody? So I want to start by showing, this is a project that was done by a master's student in Makerere University in Uganda. He was evaluating 40 different lines of cowpea in a potted experiment in the greenhouse. He wanted to try to identify moisture-resistant or drought-resistant lines. So he established four moisture regimes. Zero stress, which is that the pots were maintained at 50% water-filled pore space, about field capacity. Slight stress, where the pots would go without water for about 15 days. Medium stress, which is 25 days between waters. And high stress, which is no water for 35 days. So here, see if I can get this to work. So here at 3 weeks after planting, we see, and if you're familiar with photosynthetic measurements, I'm not sure who here is, that efficiency of photosystem 2 is highly dependent on light intensity. So we expect to see this, mouse to work here. Doesn't see, there we go. So we expect to see this dependency here. And at 3 weeks after planting, pretty much all the treatments were the same with just a few outlying points here. In an optimal system, what you would expect is that as phi 2 went down, you'd see an equal compensation of phi and pq, which we see here. At 5 weeks after planting, which I should note, both the slight stress and medium stress had been watered within that gap, we see that they're separated into two very different groups. The no stress and slight stress remain high with high photosynthetic efficiency, where the medium stress and high stress, you see a significant drop in photosynthetic efficiency. And we see the opposite effect here with phi and pq, which means these plants showed significant photo damage and their ability to assimilate carbon has been drastically reduced. The second experiment that I want to go through is this is Dr. Kelvin Kempwa at the University of Zambia. He's a common bean breeder there, and he wanted to use PhotoSync to analyze over 300 lines of common bean in the Andean diversity panel with his undergraduate students to identify key drought-tolerant genes. So his students and him went out and collected data, and he's done this about three times now over the last 2 years. And he was able to identify, using QTL mapping, able to identify here significant, the load score over 6 is significant, I'm told, by plant breeders I work with, significant locations on the chromosome for drought tolerance. And so this is an experiment that was done in early 2016, but we have since repeated the same experiment with the same lines twice in 2017. I just don't have the data here today to show you. I'm sorry. The final experiment, this should look really familiar because you saw pictures like this, you know, just a few minutes ago. So we worked with Dr. Smucker to analyze his plants, the photosynthetic characteristics of his plants over the 2017 growing season. So we had the swart membranes that you just heard about. We had irrigated control plots, and we had non-irrigated rain-fed control. We collected data 5 times over the growing season from late May to early September. So first, to kind of give you a map of where we're going, so these are from late June. Look at that. There's an error in my slides. I shouldn't have pointed that out. All right, so from late June to early September, sorry. So here is the moisture content of all the different plots. So the blue is the irrigated control, green is the swart, orange is the rain-fed control, solid line is at 15 centimeters, dashed line is at 30 centimeters. So first thing we see is that early in the year, there's not much separation. Then this summer, things really started to dry out once we got into mid-July. We saw a significant gap in moisture content, and we also saw at the same time an increase in leaf temperature differential in the rain-fed control, which means that the gap between ambient and leaf temperature was less. The others were cooler. And with Photosystem 2, we see the same thing that we saw with the study in Uganda, which is a drop in the efficiency of Photosystem 2 late in the year in rain-fed control, which is compensated by an increase in phi and pq. So this is where we're at regarding moisture stress. Oh, one more slide. Sorry about that. So to make sure that we also wanted to go further and see if those relationships were significant, and we did see here that our phi parameters were significantly correlated with volumetric water content on both measurement dates in August at both sampling depths for volumetric water content. Now, this is where we're at. Is we know that we can use it to identify drought stress in plants in a controlled experiment, and that's great. And we know that we can use it to identify drought stress, drought tolerant related QTLs, which are really good for, you know, university researchers and plant breeders, okay. But I don't think we're to the point yet where we can really help a crop manager solve his problems of reducing irrigation and increasing production, some of the problems that the previous two speakers talked to. So First, we're really excited about being able to add stomatal conductance to our current assay of measurements. We think it will really add power and maybe get us closer to be able to really help crop managers and farmers. But we still need, we have further work to do to figure out the data collection recommendations, when to go out in the field, what leaves to measure, to actually have this be a meaningful, say, tool for scheduling irrigation. As I'm sure most people here would realize, there are a lot of remote options and sensors that you can put into the ground that will give you a pretty accurate idea of when to schedule measurements. So something that's handheld that requires somebody to walk out into the field and start clamping leaves, we have to be really good, tight recommendations and good results before we're really going to be able to sell that to a crop manager. So I'd just like to thank everybody at the Kramer Lab and the Smucker Lab. And Saul Mwale from Uganda and Dr. Calvin Kamfwa from University of Zambia. And any questions?
Hey, we have a few minutes. Questions for Dan?
Have you done a comparative analysis between this system and like an industry standard photosynthetic machine, like a Lycor 6400 or an OptoScientist unit, and how those compare with the results that come off the machine?
We have done it with DEPI chambers, so you know, the measurement systems within growth chambers, and we've been correlated at about 0.95%. We have one paper on the beta multispec, that original one, a validation paper that goes through those measurements and shows how it compares. And we do have some people that I know that are working on it side by side with the Lycor 6800 currently. I just haven't seen the results. One of the key things that we can do, I would say about 95% of our users do not want that adaptability and flexibility I talked about before, right? So they want to go and choose. We've developed a number of default measurement protocols that most of our users are going to use. So then we're going to know, we're going to get certain pieces of information from that data because it's all kind of the default protocols, which makes it very easy for us to compare. What is challenging is getting some of the metadata, right? It's very easy for someone in South Africa to just put down plot number A, B, C, D, E, and then we don't know what the treatments are. We don't know that key metadata. So that is probably the biggest challenge we have, is having people be willing to put in well-annotated experimental questions so that we know what's going on. That's that last step before we can start really looking at big data analysis and understanding some of the key trends that are going on in these plants.
And also, is there a quantum sensor on the outside?
A light sensor?
Yeah.
Yes, there is. Yep.
Additional question? Got a few minutes to go yet? Yeah.
Are these units commercially available for purchase?
We're between manufacturing runs right now, but we should have new devices available within 2 to 3 months. They'll be available.
With this model equipped? Or?
So the pump will be something that you'll have to send extra. So the clamp is already integrated so that all the air channels are there for running the air over the leaves. You will have to buy the actual pump and hoses separate to control it.
What are the prices currently for the current model?
The current model that we just sold out of was $600. The price is going to go up to $800 or $900. I would have to double check with the new model that's coming out.
And as your number of country increases in cooperators, you'll double that price. How many?
Yeah.
Okay. Join me in thanking Dan again.
Thank you.